Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church.
We are in week number two of a series called You in 5 Years. We've been challenging ourselves as a church to think in decades and not days. When we think in days or just in year by year, we set ourselves up for disappointment. And over the last few weeks, we've been laying a foundation. If this is your first time here, on your seat, you'll find a worship guide. It'll tell you a little bit about City Place. And there's some sermon notes in there. Our goal is to grow in our relationship with God. And we don't want to stay at a surface level. We really want to know what God is saying. And so you can pull those out. There should be a pin there. And I'll give you a little bit of context of last week. And then we'll speed up pretty quick. We also, last week, we spent 7 days, and we just committed it to God in prayer and fasting. And during our team huddle, our team meets before service, and we celebrate wins, and we celebrate all that God's doing as we have prepared an atmosphere for you, prayed for you. And some of the wins were really cool. We've got people being promoted, and people hearing God's voice clearer and getting direction, and people literally getting a chance to just hear God for nothing other than their quality time with God. And so every year we set aside time to pray and fast. In the Bible, you see all great men and women setting aside time to pray and to fast when they wanted to see God's tangible hand move in their life. Jesus actually said that when the disciples came, they were trying to pray for some people, and they weren't getting the results that Jesus had told them that they could see. And Jesus says, I just want you to know that at this level of what you were dealing with, you have to tackle this with prayer and with fasting. And so we believe in prayer. We believe in fasting here at our church, and it aligns us to the voice of God, and that's been the undertone over the last few weeks. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to just catch everybody up if this is your first time, and then I'd like to just go for it. Can I just swing for the fences this morning? I'm trying to change our perspective to think in decades and not days, because when God is thinking about us, he's not thinking day by day or year by year. The Bible says this clearly. It says that God sees the end from the beginning, which means that he already knows. And if we pursue him only, then I have a feeling, just based on biblical record, that God will reveal to you the things that you don't know. Are you with me? It is possible for God to give you step-by-step details if we spend that time with him. Are you with me? So we don't have to pursue the thing that God shows us without additional details. And so this series is focused on us going after God and giving God enough space to do a work in us so that we don't get disappointed and frustrated at God. Anybody ever been frustrated at God? Come on, let me see your hands. Don't be ashamed. You get a little mad at God and you start saying, but you told me. At least I do. But you said. And then I start asking questions, well, why have you? And it seems like sometimes he never answers me back. The focus of this series, You in 5 Years, is we want to lay a foundation of us going after God and God alone. The result of us going after God and God alone is that he drops the details to the questions that we have. And so here's what we said last week. If you have your Bibles, turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. If not, we provided the verse on the screen. It says this. This is Habakkuk. He's a prophet of the Old Testament. Habakkuk is found in the first half of the Bible. The second half of the Bible, the New Testament, starts with a book called Matthew. Habakkuk says this. It says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Everybody say, wait. Then the Lord, verse 2, then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. Everybody say future. Future time. It describes the end. Everybody say the end. And it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. Give God some time. for it will surely take place. God said, it's my promise to you. I'm giving you a glimpse of the end result. Be patient with me. It will surely come to pass. It will not be delayed. I love that. God says, it's going to take time. Don't feel like I'm moving slow. It's not delayed. It's moving on my timeline. Are you with me? It's not me. It's just what God is saying. Then verse 4, he says, look at the proud people. They trust in themselves and they live crooked lives, but the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. God says, listen, the vision I'm giving you is a glimpse of the end. He says, now let me give you just some step-by-step instructions. Don't get anxious. He says, the vision is going to be guaranteed. I'm showing you the end. Be patient as you go step by step. I just want to let you know that I'm on time. If you get in a hurry, I'm on time. And then he says, now I want you to compare yourselves to those who aren't following after me. You might think that they're living a straight life, but they're really crooked because they're trusting in their own plans. He says, but man, the person that is trusting in me, they'll be happy. You in 5 years. What could it look like? You'll find it on your notes. This is the first thing we said. We said that most of us underestimate what we can do in the long term, but overestimate what we can do in the short term. Last week, I told a story of me being anxious and buying a 2001 Dodge Stratus with 188,000 miles. My wife told me, don't get it. We had saved $2,000, and this was like 17 years ago, and we were just like, yeah, our first apartment was ugly. We had nothing, and we had saved up $2,000, and she was like, baby, don't worry about it. We just keep saving, and she went to this auction, and it was a red Dodge Stratus there, and this is the reason why I fell in love with it. I'm just catching y'all up. I fell in love with it because it had fake chrome rims, and at that time, I've been a Christian since I was 5, but I was living that hip-hop life, y'all. Them chrome rims, it just did something to me. I don't know if it was because DC Talk had some rap going on, and I was like, this is just close enough to Christian hip-hop for me, you know, and it was like Cross Movement at the time, and y'all, the Cross Movement was a hip-hop Christian group, and I was like, man, I feel like they're rolling with the fake me out chrome rims. And so, you know, I could sneak a peek, you know, okay, Run DMC, okay, they got the gold chains with these chrome rims, perfect. And so she was like, we don't need it. But I was like, babe, don't you realize that they've replaced the factory radio for one of those, it was probably like a Sears, kind of like, oh, babe, we can literally put the DVD, because that it was like fresh then. And so I was like, girl, get it. And so she was like, babe, we don't really need this. And I'm like, get it. And so she called me, she said, we got it. And I was like, God, you're faithful. Honestly, I was worshiping the Lord. I was like, God, you have heard, watch now, my cry. And so I said, Lord, you heard my prayer. And so she said, come and get this car. Literally like that. Come and get this car. Not our car. Come and get this car. And so I got the car. I'm retelling the story to catch y'all up for the context, because y'all literally approached her after service and she was tired of hearing y'all ask if it was true. So I got in the car, and I was cocky because the Lord was still dealing with my pride. And I was kind of like, ain't nobody else get this car. Suckers, right? So I get in the car. I get in the car, and I'm like praising God. I'm like, God, let this car be used for your glory. God, I thank you, Lord God, that people are going to come to know you because I'm going to take them to church. You're faithful. I turned the car on. It purred, y'all. Yes. I put the car in drive. His presence was in the car. I'm telling you. I start driving. I get to literally to the bottom of the hill. And the car goes radiator had blown. And my wife, who was up here like, this is how you fight. It's in your mouth. Well, let me tell you, she fought that day. Didn't I tell you that this is not the call we supposed to have? If we would have just waited, y'all see her up here like, enter into his presence. That's how she fights her battles. That's her testimony. It's her word. A moment of me leading myself, and I missed out on what could produce what God really saw. See, we can really kind of overestimate aspects of our life and underestimate others. Sometimes it just feels like it's too long to wait. One of the ladies in sisterhood, I snuck in, just so y'all know. She was sharing her testimony, and she was sharing how her and her husband had been believing God for some years for a child. But as she was sharing her testimony, I noticed something that she didn't spend a lot of time on the length of time because she's holding her baby now. She told the story to get to the point of God's faithfulness because he showed up at his time. He showed up at his time. And so if we're not careful, we'll underestimate what God can do in the long term and overestimate what we can do in the short term. Have you ever been there? Here's the first thing we wrote down. We said, before I have a plan, I must have God's vision. That's what Habakkuk said. He said, now listen, I'm going to wait right here. And let me just be to myself because I need to make sure whatever he says, I get that. I don't want to declare anything to you all that God hasn't said. I don't want to move from this post until God tells me what to do. I'm not going to respond to your question. I'm not going to take anything in my own strength until God tells me what to do. And he says, I'm going to wait patiently until he speaks. See, we can't do anything in planning until God says something. We have to be patient. Before I plan, I must have vision. I have to know what God is saying, or else it's my own car and God has nothing to do with it. Proverbs 29:18 says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Whoever follows the vision that God has is joyful. Number two, we wrote this down. Vision comes from the Father. It comes from his voice. It comes from God the Father. The reason why I mentioned this last week that we use the term Father is because the Bible clearly declares that the relationship that God sees with us is relational. Is he God? 100%. But when he talks about us, he sees sons and daughters. So when we're approaching him, we don't have to approach him in fear. We can approach him in boldness. Father, show me what you see for me. I will wait here until you say something. My boys call my name all the time. Daddy, daddy. Noah does it. Daddy, 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 can we go throw the ball? Daddy, can we go throw the ball? Daddy, can we go outside throw the ball? Daddy, you know what? You want to go throw the ball, don't you? Daddy, can we go outside? Daddy, the ball's outside waiting for you and for me, daddy. Daddy, you know what? I just left the ball outside. Whenever you want to go get it, I'll come with you because we should go play ball outside. He will literally ask me until I respond. Are you with me? It's the same way with us. Vision comes from the Father. And we should just approach him as such. Dad, what do you see for me over the next 5 years? Give him time. Because he sees the end. He wants to tell you. But he wants to know that you'll be patient. So give God a little bit of time to work. Number three. And this was actually a point, so it's not number three. I wrote this down to share with everyone. We don't seek God for vision. We seek God to know God. So we don't seek God for vision, we seek God to know God. That's the foundation. Here's number three. Vision for my life will not come from outsiders. Your friends won't be able to share vision for your home. Husband and wives, you create the vision for your homes. You create the vision for your kids. I am not going to have the vision for your house. Ty and I have the vision for City Place Church. You have the vision for your house. As an outsider, as your pastor, I speak life to what God has put in you. I am going to be a confirming voice. Or if the Lord speaks us, what I might be preaching today could be a warning. But an outsider cannot speak vision to you. They can encourage your vision, but they cannot define your vision. Are you with me? So whatever you're walking through and you're getting advice, please do not implement that advice. Y'all with me? I'm sorry. It could be the best advice, but the only way that that advice will work for what God has called you to do is if it goes through the funnel of what God has said to you. Are you with me? Because your whole vision can be jacked up with one phrase. It could be, God doesn't do that. Oh, I don't know why I was praying for that. So vision is not going to come from outsiders. Here's the last thing that we said last week, and then we're going to propel into this week. If we don't have his voice, we don't have vision. If we don't have his voice, we don't have vision. We could be chasing ideas. We could be chasing our own thing. But if we don't have his voice, we don't have vision. Question, could it be that we don't see clearly because we aren't hearing clearly? Could it be that we don't see clearly because we aren't hearing clearly? Could it be that I'm not grabbing hold of what I see because maybe the thing that I'm chasing is not what God said? Have you ever thought about that? You can look at my 2001 Dodge Stratus. Why is this car breaking down? That's what we kept saying as we were taking it to the shop. On average, once every 2 weeks. I'm serious. We spent more fixing up the car than we did paying for the car. And immediately we put in a new rule. We will wait until. What if what I'm looking at is really not what he even spoke to me? So here's the question that we asked. What could I be, or who could I be in God by the time it's 2025? If I get after it, if I give God all I've got, if I trust that the God who made the heaven and the earth, who is for me and not against me, who gave his son, who gave me his spirit, who could I be 5 years from now? Like, who could I be if I go all into God and make him my priority? So we said, if there's no voice, there's no vision. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you that we get to come in to your presence. We thank you that you're going to challenge us to think in decades and not days. Give us vision for who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here's our target. Here's the first target. You'll find it. It's the gap. It says you in 5 years, target number one. You in 5 years, target number one. In 5 years, we should all have a goal to be spiritually mature. 5 years from now, spiritually mature, spiritually mature. Being able to hear the echo and the whisper of God's voice. No more being bounced to and fro is what Paul says. He says that if you're not careful, literally when people speak, if you're not grounded, you could be bounced around by every little hint of doctrine if you don't know God's word all by yourself. I could come in and I can say one thing, and it could be totally contrary to God's voice. And if you don't have spiritual investment, what I would say could sound like God said it. Frightening, huh? I'm just giving you an example. I have the fear of God, so I'm not going to do that. But if we aren't spiritually mature, then Pastor Damon on a Sunday morning could be God's voice to you. And God never designed that. Are you with me? Here's what vision is defined as. You'll find three spaces. Vision establishes your why. It establishes your why. It's the reason for your existence. It's the reason for your existence. It's why your family exists, why you exist, why does City Place Church exist? For example, City Place Church exists to be a life-giving church that builds dreams, ignites faith, establishes leaders that win the lost for the kingdom of God. That's why we exist. We go into that in greater detail in Next Steps, which happens at the first Sunday of every month. It's kind of like our membership class, but it defines why. So when you come into service on a Sunday morning and we're really like life-giving and people are hugging you and they're like, welcome, can we help you with your kids? It's because we want you to come in and feel like this is a breath of fresh air. We're going to be so animated with the presence of God because we want you to leave feeling like God can really do this for me. We want you to feel like this could be home. So we're going to be life-giving. So that's what drives us as a church. Vision creates discipline. It creates discipline. It targets your actions and your behaviors. We're going to cheer you on for what God's called you to do. We're going to challenge you up. We're going to encourage you to serve in God's house. That's just who we are. It creates discipline for you. Vision helps others better understand you. God said this to Habakkuk. We read it earlier. He says, write the vision and make it plain so that the person that comes after you can grab hold of it and run. So see, vision is not just for you and for me. Others will see it and go, okay, let me help them get to this target. Vision constrains. This is the tough part. This is why some of us fear the word budget. My wife and I in North Carolina, part of my function in North Carolina was I was an associate pastor, but I also had executive duties. And I had to teach finances to the church. And I would be meeting with families and I go, I want you to create a budget. And this is how they would look at me and go, oh, that is just too constraining. So I said, let's call it a spending plan. Why? Because if you create vision, vision constrains. Vision constrains. Habakkuk told his servant, he said, I'm going to wait right here. The vision that I have for this moment is I'm going to wait on God. So if you tell me that it's time to eat, I can't go right now because I'm waiting for him to speak. Vision is very clear. It will constrain you. My pastor says it like this. He says, sometimes you have to wear the constraints of your vision. My pastor, he's coming at the end of February. He's Australian. And he says, when you create vision, you have to wear the constraints of vision. Otherwise, you render it powerless. If you don't wear the constraints of what God declares to you, you render what you said powerless. Y'all okay? Y'all are looking at me. By constraining vision, it helps us define opportunities which do not ultimately contribute to our vision. We can be doing things that is not designed to play a role in what God's called us to do. But if we wear the constraints of vision, then we can say, you know what? I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm sorry, I am not going to buy that because I have vision. Write this down. It's a fill in the blank. Vision from the Lord brings clarity of pursuit. Vision from the Lord brings clarity of pursuit. Vision from the Lord brings clarity of pursuit. Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 10. This is Jesus talking. Watch Jesus as he's declaring he's given vision. Okay? Watch this. Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Jesus is giving his vision statement. He says, I just want y'all to know the reason why I came, the constraints that I'm confined with is I've come to find out who does not have a relationship with God, and I'm going to bring them in a relationship with God. That's his vision. Watch, a verse that's not up there. Jesus is about to go to the cross. And maybe you know the story, maybe you do not. I'm going to tell you. And the Bible says that he is in a garden, and he is praying. And he says, Father, is there not another option versus for me to die? But then he says this. He says, now watch. Not my will, but your will be done. Watch now. He says, in this moment, my vision is we need another option. But the vision that has been my driving force leads me back to Luke 19. It's not my vision, but it's your vision that needs to be accomplished. Because you sent me here with a clear vision to seek and to save those who were lost. So vision defines who I am. It cancels out other opportunities. Right now, if I want to, I can let everybody be on their own. Aren't you grateful that Jesus had clear vision? See, vision constrains, but vision benefits others. Aren't you glad that you can look at the cross and an empty tomb and go, thank God for vision? Y'all are quiet. Jesus was constrained by vision. Vision is defined as something that others can grab hold of, James. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't allow himself to take his own option? But he remembered the voice of the Father. And he said, it's God's vision that I'm going to roll with. You and I are benefiting from Jesus's vision, which was the Father's vision. So it tells me that if you and I will tap into what God the Father will say, long after you're gone, somebody can grab hold of your vision and say, I'm glad that they created the business. I'm glad that they decided that it would be in this generation that our family would walk with the Lord. Come on, y'all. Listen, if we would allow the vision of heaven to be our vision, long after we're gone, it'll still have an echo. Jesus proved that, y'all. All right, here, I'll prove it again. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Jesus says, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is like, every time someone keeps bouncing stuff at him, Jesus says, pause for a second. Hey, you know what? I know y'all are running around and y'all are trying to be real religious. Pause for a second. I'm here to serve you. Let me tell you how I'm going to serve. I'm going to give my life for so many. Please don't try to distract me from that. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, he goes, I just want y'all to know, not too long of time, I'm going to die. One of them goes, no, you're not. And Jesus is like, why would you speak against the vision? Please get back. Because if I allowed an outside voice to try to dictate my vision, if I'm not spiritually mature, I'm going to be like, you know what? That's a good option. Do you see how it's all tying together? If we're spiritually mature, I'm not going to let anybody try to define my vision. Y'all, I really feel like this is good. And I'm just sitting here. And that's so prideful. It's like, this is good. Like, I'm going to work on your humility, Damon. We still got areas for you to grow. All right, here we go. Look. Watch. Here's four areas that during this series, I believe like the Lord wants me to challenge us in. Write these down. Spiritually, physically, stewardship, and social influence. Spiritually, physically, stewardship, and social influence. God the Father's vision will always involve and impact, write this down, his purpose, his plans, his people, and his church. But check this out, it involves you. His purpose, his plans, his people, his church, but it involves you. Now, when we read that statement, we could ask this, because this is what I do sometimes. But what about me? Like, Lord, this is me here. No. It's for his purpose, his plans, his people, his church. That involves us. See, if we can shift our thinking when God downloads vision to you, it must have an eternal impact. Are you with me? The vision from heaven. God is not going to show you a business just so that you could live in the country club. He ain't doing that, because otherwise he's going to be like a genie. And he's going to pick you over them. And the Bible says God doesn't respect. He's no respecter of persons. He loves everyone the same. So he's not going to give you $1 million and say, go live it up. Okay. And then have someone over here living in a lower income status. They're going to have everyone in different areas of life are going to have vision from God. Some will have more resources. Some might have more influence. I don't really know how God will lay it out for us individually. But one thing that I do know is that whatever he shows you, it might look like it's you, but it's going to always, always involve his purpose, his plans, his people, his church. Disclaimer, God is not a video, you know, gamer. He's not controlling your actions. Like, go to the left, go to the right, jump, grab the snowball for extra points. Nope. No, that's not him. I'm not saying that. He goes, here's what I see. Will you wait patiently for it? Will you listen and come after me for more and more detail because you love me? Or are you just going to run with the fact that you want to be a business owner? Will you ask me why I gave that to you? Will you ask me for clarity? Will you ask me how will I use it? Will you ask me the capacity that I want you to begin? Or will you just run? Will you ask me about college? Will you include me in which one you go to? Because what you may not see is that in the third year, I've got a scholarship waiting for you versus you paying for it, Damon, $50,000. If we give God a little bit of time, we just never know what he sees. Are you with me? What I'm saying is if God gives us vision, he also has the strategy and he has the resources for that. So spiritually, physically, stewardship-wise, and social. Here's God's vision, just so that everybody knows. God has vision. He wants lost people found people free people equipped, and equipped people mobilized. God is always going to come after the lost person. And he doesn't just want people to get to heaven. He wants them to be free from everything that the enemy would try to hold them down. And then after he gets all of us free, he wants us equipped because he wants more people to be found. He wants more people to be found. So he equips us. That's what we do in Next Steps. It's like, we want to find out what you're gifted at so that we can say, let's speak life into that. And then let's go win your friends. And then he mobilizes us so that we can go and win the loss for the kingdom of God. Flip over your paper. We're going to get a little practical now. You ready? We're going to get a little practical. We got 5 minutes. Who give me 5 minutes? No one wants to give me 5 minutes. I love it. Here's what happens when I ask for 5 minutes. Yeah, people aren't, they're like, nope. Because in times past, when they raise their hand, I'm like, you give me the 5, the 10, the 15, the 20, the 25, the 30. And that gives me more time to preach. I turn into a North Carolina auctioneer. So I have to give it a 5, the 10, the 15, the 20, the 25, 30. See, I know how the auctioneers do it because we were hurt, babe. We were young. And that auctioneer took advantage of us, babe. They knew better, allowing us to buy that car. I did know better. I did. All right, if you flip it over, let's get practical. Let's get practical. If God the Father gives us vision, but it's going to impact his plans, his purpose, his people, his church, then here's what we have to know. You'll find like four boxes, four spaces, is that his word becomes my vision when I write it down. Okay? His word becomes my vision, watch now, when I write it down. Vision that's not written down is an idea. It's an idea. You can say, I have this vision, but if it's not on paper, it's an idea. Because if I write it down, it creates that discipline. I'm serious about this thing. God could have said, hey, listen to what I said. Everything that I tell you. Nope. He said, write the vision, make it clear on tablets so that when people see it, they can run. As you describe it to them, let them know that I'm giving them a glimpse of the end. I'm going to work the process. I want you to go through the process with me. Don't get anxious. Don't be in a hurry. I'm on time. If you think in decades and not days, you'll be like, God's working it out for me. Every step I take, I get closer to fulfilling what God has showed me. But if I get in a hurry, I'm like, God, what's up with you? And God's like, I'm on time. So if I write it down, his words become my vision. See, I write it down because the minute I write it down, I become accountable and God becomes accountable to his word. You see what I'm saying? If I write it down, I become accountable and God becomes accountable because in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says this. It says that when God says something, that what he says cannot get back to him unaccomplished. So if God downloads vision to us and we give God decades versus days to work, God's like, be patient. I'm on time. Every step you take, you get closer to fulfilling my vision for your life. Because it can't get back to me. Once I say it, I got to keep my promise. I just need you to write it down so that both of us are held accountable for it. So in the first box, spiritually speaking, here's what I want us to pray and seek God and vision for. Spiritually speaking, I want you to write this down. We're talking about our relationship with God. Remember, we said that we want to be spiritually mature, so let's break it down. Our relationship with God. And then I want you to pray about your family's relationship with God, of your parents, or if you have people inside of your family that doesn't know the Lord. Your family's relationship with God. And then I want you to pray about your church home. Pray about your church home because we sometimes don't include what we want God to do in our life through our church. Which then puts us in a place of being a spiritual free agent. We're like, I'm gonna go over here. And if they got what I need, you know what I mean? I might sign with them for a season. That's how we as Christians, we say that, for a season. God has me here for a season. No. You have you there for a season. Until God speaks to you. I know that's harsh. But that's how we work because we can be spiritual and we don't allow God to work. So sometimes we leave places too soon because it's tough. Oh, they offended me and they hurt me. It's my season. Well, did we pray? Is this too harsh? I'm just pastoring us. Because when we're talking about decades and days, we have to have God's perspective. Because if we leave something too soon, or if we don't give enough time to our relationship with the Lord, then we're all on our own. So I want you to have vision for your relationship with God, for your family's relationship with God, for your church home. If you're visiting here, this is not some sort of ploy to, we don't have like an insurance book at the end where we're going to be like, ha-ha. For 2 weeks, you get this. 3 weeks, you get this. No. What I'm saying is give God an opportunity to work. Where you are, have vision for how you'll get to a place and you won't just receive, but you're like, God, how can I grow where I am? I want to grow that church. Use me where I am. I've got gifts and I've got talents. Remember, for his purpose, his plan, his people, his church. Everybody's got a gift in here meant for God's house. But here's what I do. This is what I do. When they need me, that's how I was early on. I was like, when they need me, because I don't have time. I'm working 60 hours a week, going to school, interning, working at night. They don't know. But if I create vision and if I put it down on paper, God, use me at the church where I am, God goes, I'll redeem your time. God has a funny way of giving space and margin to the thing that when we run after it or we kind of try to constrain, he has a way of making it increase. It's the craziest thing. So that's part of the vision. Here's what Joshua said. This was Joshua's in the Bible. This was his family mission when it came to the spiritual aspect of their life. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, he said this. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Can you imagine him going to his kids and they're in high school and he's like, hey, come here. You cannot do that right now because that's contrary to what we've declared. And them being teenagers, oh, come on, man. And Joshua's like, the family mission is that the priority of our life is we will serve the Lord. And back in biblical days, they didn't play. Can you imagine him going, I know that you're getting older, but mom and dad have set the tone for your family's future. We will serve the Lord. I'm challenging us to be bold enough to declare what will happen in your house. We have things for our kids. We're like, our kids are going to walk with the Lord every single day. This is what we've been, when people were teaching us about vision, we've got scripture verses that we declare so that when it comes time for Proverbs, and I'm talking about the rod of correction, I can't just discipline him because I need to change his behavior. No, I discipline him because, son, you're going to serve the Lord. Your name is David. Your name is Noah. And the Bible says that Noah walked with God. You don't have any room in your future. You will never step out of line with God. Even if you have bumps in your relationship with God, the thing that mom and dad have declared over you is that Noah walked with God. Are you with me? Just an example. We're not perfect in any way, but we do want to share our kids to shape our kids towards the Lord. Here's some other things. Practically speaking, what if we set a goal in the next 5 years to read the Bible through completely? Just an idea, like a vision. 5 years, we're giving ourselves 5 years to read through the Bible. Some of us might have put it down. I've tried to do it in a year, and then I go on a cruise, and I'm like, I'm just going to eat. Chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, I have to do it when I get back because it's buffet. So I'm going to do one verse today, and then I'll get back. Ain't nobody, you can never do that when you have a plan and you get off of it. But what if we gave ourselves a little bit of room and said, I'm going to be spiritually mature. God, I just want to read through your word in the next 5 years. Doesn't seem insurmountable then, does it? Or what about we'll be planted in the local church, serve actively. Or how about this one? What if we memorize 12 scriptures every year? Once a month, huh? That's a lot less pressure, right? God, I just want to know you. I like to learn 12 scriptures. Those are just some examples, y'all. Number two. Physically speaking, and the worship team, you can come up. I'm done. Physically speaking, we're talking about the health and wellness of your life. The health and wellness of your life. This comes into living in freedom. We want to see things, addictions broken. We want to be bold about it. There's some struggles in our life that we know keep us from God's presence sometimes. So what we can do if we give God a little bit of time is we can break the back of condemnation from the enemy. We can say, you know what, God? You see the end. I want to be free from anxiety, free from depression. I know we want it broken today, no doubt about it. Am I right? But what if we just say, God, you're going to do it in this period of time. I have vision that my mind is going to be stayed on the things of God over these next 5 years. I just know that I'm going to be free from this struggle or that struggle. 3 John 2 says, hey, beloved, I desire that you live in health, even as your soul prospers. The word of God is full of vision. I'm going to live in health as my soul prospers. What a great vision verse. I'm going to live in health as my soul prospers. So when I start feeling a little down, I don't know, I might have to take a walk. I'm going to talk about it in my small group. But the vision for my life over these next 5 years is I'm going to live in health even as my soul prospers. The word of God is full a vision. Next Sunday, we'll continue on in what God says about you and vision, but I want us to keep going hard after God every single week. Every single week, God, show me what you see for my spiritual life. Show me what you see physically. Show me what you see stewardship-wise. Show me what you see socially.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.